Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Advocacy doesn't just take place on the streets, in courtrooms, or in state houses. It's evident in the music we hear, the art we see, the words that surround us. The American Civil Liberties Union of Texas established its Artist in Residence program to give Texas artists funds and support to advance its advocacy goals. Two artists share the title this year, poet and educator K.B. Brookins, based out of Austin, and artist and San Antonio native Vincent Valdez. Brookins is a Black, queer, and trans writer who founded the Black, Queer, and Trans Collective at the University of Texas at Austin. Brookins' 2024 debut memoir is called Pretty. Valdez is known for his larger-than-life realistic paintings that confront injustice and inequity. He lives and works in Houston and Los Angeles. Brookins and Valdez will each receive $30,000 to work alongside the ACLU in projects that advocate for civil rights and individual liberties. Brookins, who uses they-them pronouns, says their project will draw attention to pre-trial detention policy in Texas jails, especially those in Harris County, where people who could not afford bail for low-level offenses were found by a court to be unconstitutionally detained.
So my project addresses a myriad of issues. Thousands of people are sitting in pre-trial detention in Texas, mostly due to not being able to afford bail, right? It feels as if there's a class difference of, like, if you have the money, right, to pay the system, then you can get out and you can actually, like, exercise your liberties. But if you don't, you can't, right? And Texas taxpayers spend something like $1.2 billion a year jailing people before they have been convicted of a crime. In Harris County in particular, people are dying in Harris County jails at alarming rates. A lot of those people waiting to be seen. And I think Harris County is just really just emblematic of those issues, the issue of over incarceration, producing really long-term disruptions in people's housing, employment, economic stability in general, all those things. So my project is pretty multi-pronged. Parts of it that I'll be doing are writing workshops. I'm also an educator, and I really enjoy just activate people's creativity around issues that they care about. So I will be doing creative writing workshops that focus specifically on pretrial detention and bail and talking about the human impact of those things. They will all be free to attend writing workshops. And after those writing workshops are over, people will have the opportunity to, if they opt in, perform at my end of residency culminating event. And a thing that I also hope to have at that event are commissioning visual artists to create visual representations of some of the pieces that people will write in those workshops. So, yeah, a lot of cool things. And also all of the things with the writing workshops, people will also have the opportunity to be a part of a larger book proposal that I've been really dreaming about. So this residency will help me actually bring that anthology book to actuality.
Well, I'm wondering if you have any personal connection to this topic, because it is something that the Texas legislature has been very much focused on. Their bail reform was a key item that they were wishing to pass during this last session. Bail reform and the fact that they wanted to restrict bail for certain crimes, people staying in prison longer. And you know that Harris County in particular, there's been legislation passed targeting Harris County and its practices as far as criminal justice or criminal injustice, as you said, goes. I'm curious as to how you found yourself interested in this topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know a lot of like Black families that are not impacted by incarceration in some kind of way. In my family in particular, I have two uncles that have been pretty in and out of jails and prisons my whole life. I have one uncle in particular that has had experience and been incarcerated in Harris County jails. And just the ways that people throw jail at issues actually would benefit from other solutions. Like if someone like my uncle had substance abuse, I don't understand why him sitting in jail for 30 days is going to help with that. There are other solutions to that. There are other solutions to mental health issues. There are other solutions to disruptions in housing, which he's had throughout my life as well. And I've just seen how, in particular, the criminal justice system has kind of just like thrown him away in a lot of ways and has made it hard for him to re-enter society. So, you know, it's very personal to me, this issue. And then also just seeing that happen to other families of loved ones. I just want better. I want better for people. I want actual solutions that lead to like long-term health and safety. I don't think anyone was made more safe because my uncle, who has substance abuse issues, like sat in a jail and then continued to like be cycled through that process.
Well, Vincent, I know you've also been witness to a lot of injustice in your time as a visual artist. So I'm wondering how you are going to be using this project with the ACLU to further your advocacy.
And for me, I am alarmed by the denial of history. And I've spent the course over a lifetime really trying to use visual images as a means to inform, educate, and empower individuals. So when I think about the great fog of social amnesia that hovers over our collective American society, you know, at a moment like this, it is a project like what I am titling The New Americans, a series of visuals that will be collected as a suite of images and partnered with the ACLU, find various ways to distribute these images to the masses. So almost in the spirit of the American WPA movement, a social arts movement and context that integrated activism, visual art, and social movement across this country. My aim with the project like The New Americans is to use it as a means, as a reminder to all of us that there is still plenty worth fighting for. There are individuals scattered within various communities, be it in Harris County, in the state of Texas, in the American Southwest, and across the United States. These individuals, mostly unknown to each other, are being actively selected, located, researched, interacted with by myself. I photograph these individuals, I collect their story, and I use the medium of, you know, drawing and painting to help remind others that there are plenty of individuals still fighting the good fight, not for fame, not for power, not for profit, but because it's still simply the right thing to do. So at the end of the day, this collection of images, this portfolio, my intention is to distribute these images within classroom settings, within communities, within grassroots organizations, as a means to spark other individuals out in the world to follow in these kinds of footsteps. At a moment like this, I can't help but think about a region like and a state like Texas, where an obvious and evident war on education and the arts, you know, that is a long time coming. This is a moment that many of us have been actively preparing for over the course of a career and a lifetime. And so if I can use the power of an image as a miniature act of resistance, then this serves as, you know, a calling for all artists, you know, for all critical thinkers, especially at a moment when critical thought itself is rapidly fading like a mirage on our American horizon.
We're talking today with artist Vincent Valdez and writer KB Brookins, 2025-26 Artists in Residence with ACLU of Texas. When we come back, KB Brookins is hopeful their platform with the ACLU brings attention to the issues they're passionate about.
Gets me in front of people that maybe otherwise wouldn't opt in, right? Conversations with a Black trans person about mass incarceration. Hopefully also brings in folks in my community, right? Other Black folks, other queer and trans people.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for this podcast of Fronteras comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Art, poetry, and music have been employed by generations of activists to advocate for civil rights. The ACLU of Texas began its Artist in Residence program in 2022 to raise awareness on issues like border and immigrant rights, LGBTQIA+ equality, and fighting racism in the criminal justice system. Two artists were picked to serve from 2025 to 26. San Antonio native Vincent Valdez is an artist whose artworks have been displayed at the Smithsonian Museum of American Art and the National Portrait Gallery. His ACLU Artist in Residence project is to complete his New Americans series of monumental portraits of everyday community heroes who, he says, fight the good fight. K.B. Brookins is a Black, queer, and trans writer and educator. Their poetry collection Freedom House and debut memoir Pretty are critically acclaimed. Brookins' project for the ACLU is to host writing workshops and art events that center on pre-trial detention in Texas jails, particularly those in Harris County. Brookins hopes the artist-in-residence position will also bring attention to LGBTQ struggles and other social justice issues.
I think literally my mere existence and talking about those things on a larger platform will be helpful. I'm a literary artist. I've been in the literary industry for about 10 years. And I think that people have these ideas of what kind of people live in Texas. And then when I show up and I'm like, I'm born, raised, and based in Texas, I do think that changes minds. And I think that because the ACLU is such a respected organization, I'm really excited, especially about this residency opportunity, because it does, you know, increase my reach, gets me in front of people that maybe otherwise wouldn't opt in, right? In conversations with a Black trans person about mass incarceration. Hopefully also brings in folks in my community, right? Other Black folks, other queer and trans people, to activate them around this issue that does disproportionately affect a lot of us. I said earlier, like, I don't know a lot of Black families. I'm from Fort Worth, the east side of Fort Worth, Texas, that aren't impacted by incarceration. So clearly this impacts the Black community quite a bit. And one thing that I want to do, especially with these workshops, is just get people more excited to help. So these are things that are in the zeitgeist right now, and all I hope to do is to empower people to use their creative voices and amplify creative arts as much as I can through this position.
Well, has the ACLU given you maybe any guidelines for each of you to work under, like a quantity of pieces of work to do, or are they giving you sort of the artistic license to be able to work within those projects that you've already talked to us about? And I'll start with you, Vincent.
Yeah, I think this is a shining example of an organization like the ACLU. One of the things that I noticed immediately in my conversations early on with the ACLU was that they sort of laid out, put on the table for me as an artist, recognizing that every single artist is going to be different, right? We each have our own unique approaches. And so they gave me the option of, by saying, we'll be as present as you need us to be. We can help you with resources. We can help you with archives. We can help you as a support system. You know, we trust in your vision and your concepts that if you need to break away for a while and just go and develop your idea, you know, be in isolation, be out in the communities. When you're ready, we are here for you. And so I really respect that, because it really hasn't felt, you know, as an artist, it hasn't felt like this extreme demand in terms of, you know, it's more a sort of a corporate layout in terms of deadlines and strategy thinking. I really am the type of artist that, you know, my concept is going to develop very rapidly, as most of my projects do in the studio. I never really know where they're going to quite end up. I mean, part of this process is just learning to trust your artistic instincts. But most importantly, I want to use this project as a means to gauge the atmosphere outside in the world, outside of the studio. I want to really kind of explore where people are at, what people are feeling at this moment in time, how people are coping, and come back in the studio and use this project as a testimony, really, and as a documentation of putting it down on record. This very moment in time, what I was experiencing in the ways that I was interacting with individuals as a means to give a platform back to people for the people's voice. You know, it's very rare at a moment like this, you know, when we are all barraged with the endless stream of information from politicians, from celebrities, from people with already existing platforms of power. It's my aim to give this platform back to ordinary people living day to day in our communities of all walks of life. This is what's most important to me, and I really feel like the ACLU really understands this idea, understands the vision that I have, and so yeah, all the power to them for really trusting in me to see it through to completion.
And KB, what about you? Did you talk to the ACLU at all about how maybe you wanted to work within their guidelines?
So we made together what is called like a strategy brief, how I imagine achieving the goals, what issue I am hoping to like address with my project, which was extremely helpful for me as a like more like artist brain person. I like to say sometimes that there are like artist people that are like maybe a little bit more logistic minded. And I'm learning. I'm learning how to be more like logistical. These are the timelines, all of that kind of stuff. But it honestly has helped tremendously to have ACLU staff kind of in my corner, helping me piece together things like timelines, things like listing out my collaborators and partners, and also when I want to work with someone that maybe I'm not already connected with, they've been helping me get connected. So really, they've been great so far, thought partner in just like organizing my project and making me see it like a marathon, and not necessarily like I have to do everything all at once. And then also helping me with just getting connected with community. It's a community project, right? What I'm doing and what Vincent is doing. We are hoping to impact individual people in the places where we reside, in the places where people that we love reside. So it's especially important to me to have community engagement. So yeah, they've definitely been helpful with that so far and haven't given me any stringent guidelines as far as like how many things I need to produce and things like that. And luckily through the application process, like what I pitched to them in my application is pretty in alignment with what I'm doing as my project.
Well, I always think that, you know, art is probably, whether it's visual art, spoken word, printed word, it is the most effective way to communicate an idea, an emotion, a political view, an activist bent. It's probably the best way to communicate that to audiences from all walks of life, all incomes, all races, etc. And I'm wondering, KB, how you have been able to use the spoken and the printed word in order to make your voice heard and for others to have their voices heard.
I've been going to open mics pretty regularly since I was in high school, right? And I think there were like some social issues like Palestine, for example, that I like fully didn't know about until I like went to an open mic and someone on the mic happened to be talking about those things. Like truly, I feel like I've been educated on how the world works at readings, at places where authors are talking about, you know, these personal experiences and the things that they're seeing out in the world. Before I had any queer and trans people in my life, I had them in books. I grew up in the Bible Belt. I don't have a lot of people in my immediate family that are queer or trans. So like, really, you know, I feel like I live a more varied and diverse life because I am a writer. So to that end, I do think that allowing people to tell their stories and using the skills that I've gained over time to help people do that. Like when I'm not writing, that's the thing that I love to do, like second most, just like teaching, getting in front of people and telling them, like I was told X amount of years ago, I won't tell y'all my age. but like, hey, you have something to say and your unique view will educate someone, will make someone feel seen, will galvanize someone into action. Like I have been at open mics where there were also, you know, people tabling there that were like, hey, sign this petition about this issue that we're talking about at this open mic. And I'm like, I'm going to sign that. I'm going to sign up for y'all's newsletter. I'm going to stay informed. One of the early ways that I got included in LGBTQIA plus quality work, right, which I still do, was at an open mic. Literally just at like an open mic where these drag queens were also like right next to Rikers. It was a very fun event. Anyway, I do feel like, and especially for me as a person who didn't necessarily grow up around queer and trans people, it like taught me a lot about who I was.
It does seem like it's a great place to build community in an area where you are isolated. I'm wondering if, Vincent, you might have had that same experience.
I remember the transformative power of the experience that art making provided for me as a child. I started painting murals when I was 9 years old in San Antonio, mostly in various housing community projects with my mentor, Alex Rubio, who was 19 at the time. But I'll never forget the sort of epiphany, the life-changing lightning bolt event that occurred for me, sitting on the scaffolding, under the hot Texas sun, working on these murals. I saw the ways in which a single image could transform a viewer. Viewers would look at these murals and they would see themselves reflected, because they weren't seeing their own tales and stories and personal histories on advertising billboards, on the movie screens, in commercials throughout America. But in these murals, they connected to them. They saw themselves reflected. Therefore, they embraced these images. They became sacred monuments, memorials in a way, after Rubio and I would pack up and walk over to the next wall. That experience forever developed and shaped my life's quest and course. I vowed at that moment to use the power of images to always try to connect with other human beings, to make stories about people and for people. I saw myself, my own life's tale that was unfolding, reflected in these images. And, it really, I think that it's also important to remember at a moment in time like this, the power and the long existing legacy of the arts in America, whether it be through social movements like murals, whether it be through civil rights artist movements in this country. We must also remember why, at moments like these, the arts are almost always forefront and center and deemed as a threat. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance of not only understanding, but knowing our history. If I can use images to try to amplify people's voices, to tell a people's history, like the great Howard Zinn, historian, once titled his book, then so be it. I will spend every single waking moment that I have trying to use the power and the nature and the truth behind art to collectively ignite and inspire and remind others to continue to fight the good fight.
Vincent Valdez is a San Antonio native and artist who's artist in residence with the ACLU of Texas. We're also talking with Austin-based writer and educator KB Brookins, who is co-artist in residence with Vincent Valdez. They'll each receive $30,000 to work alongside the ACLU and the community as they complete their individual projects that advocate for civil rights, social justice, and criminal law reform. Valdez is completing his project of monumental portraits known as the New Americans that will be distributed across the state in Know Your Rights campaigns. Brookins will use original composition, workshops, and public presentations to address the inequality of pretrial detention in Texas jails. See some of Vincent Valdez's images and read some of KB Brookins' words at tpr.org. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marianne Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.